welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we're back again. Happy Monday to you all, or whatever day you choose to listen to this. It could be sometime far, far into the future. One thing is for certain, it'll be in the future from our perspective.
Well, yes.
Because we can't record in the future, because that would be the future, and you'd be listening to us in the past.
Yeah, we'd have to do something live in order for them to be with us now.
Well, yeah, and that would be crazy pants. You can't do that on the internet. I checked. It's physically impossible. There's nothing on the internet that lets you do that. I
Haunt Chat Live. So,
Twitch. YouTube Live. You know, any of that stuff. But definitely, do follow us to the places we will be. We're at HauntWeekly.com or HauntWeekly on Twitter and Facebook. TinyWorld.com/HauntWeekly. TinyWorld.com is our... No, there's a slash there. TinyWorld.com/HauntWeekly takes you to our YouTube channel where all the past episodes are available. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, Podbean, wherever finer podcasts are distributed.
Yes.
You will find us. And I've got to say, I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah.
Two things are very unique about it for us. One is we do not have robust show notes.
Right.
This time around, for reasons we'll get into in a minute. And the second is because we're recording a day early.
Oh.
Usually we do this stuff like the night before. We're like the little kid, the kids in college, you know, cramming for their tests the night before. It's usually us.
Yeah.
But no, today we're doing it a day early because we wanted to talk about this while it was fresh in our heads and have all this great stuff in our mind, all these things we wanted to talk about, because we are currently talking about the Oddities and Curiosities Expo, the New Orleans one in particular, obviously the one we went to. Yes, long story short, this has been a touring exposition. It's likely either been near you or will be near you soon, and we'll be covering more information on future dates just a little bit later. But yes, a very interesting field trip we had today, mm-hmm. and I'm very excited to talk about a lot of neat stuff to discuss, and hopefully some suggestions for how to really improve it next year and blow this thing wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's really what we're talking about here.
Yes.
So, yes. But first thing is first, it's conference reminders. Two big events happened this weekend. So, we've lost two, but we gained one.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Crystal, I believe it is an even one since you're the oddball. I have to begin, correct?
Yes, but you started last week because you wanted to.
Oh, well then.
But it's okay.
I'll begin anew. Yes. Look at me mansplaining and keeping the woman silent.
Oh, yeah. You can try.
Well, on that note, everyone, first up, August 24th through the 26th, it's Mask Fest. It's a pirate party! Yar!
Exactly.
We are
good
only
way
two
to start
minutes.
Off. Good way.
We're 2 minutes into this, and we're so far off the rails. The New York public transit system is telling us to slow our roll.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's Mask Fest in Indianapolis, Indiana, the JW Marriott Indianapolis, featuring all type of mask makers and makeup artists, including the legendary Tom Savini. MaskFest.com for more information.
Okay, and then it's CreepyCon, Halloween and Horror Convention, August 24th through the 26th in Knoxville, Tennessee. World's Fair Exhibition Center features workshops, exhibitors, and a zombie beauty contest. CreepyConKnoxville.com.
All right, after that, it's ScareFest. The Rebirth is there, prone to repeating on her site all in Lexington, Kentucky, September 14th through the 16th at the Lexington Convention Center. Guests include Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira, Joe Bob Briggs of Monster Vision fame, and Sid Haig, better known as Captain Spaulding. TheScareFest.com for more information.
All right. Dark History and Horror Con, Champaign, Illinois, November 9th and 10th, Garden Hotel Urbana. Tickets are just $20 for the weekend, $10 per day. It includes a film festival, And you can go to DHHCON.com because it's not a pronounceable word.
Yeah, it's DHCON.
Yes.
DHCON. Okay, I tried.
No.
No. I saw on the mic, on the recorder, it clipped horribly when I did that. This is going to be a bitch to edit. I just screwed myself so hard. Oh, God. This is going terribly. August. Okay, not August. Oh, God. I hope you enjoy laughing with the thing. Some people said they want t-shirts of this. Oh, God, help us all. Okay, November 9th and 10th in Salt Lake City, Utah. It's the Legendary Haunt Tour. It'll be meeting up at the Holiday Inn Express, but it's a tour. You won't be actually conferencing there. You'll be on a bus touring haunts. And those haunts will include Nightmare on 13th and Fear Factory, among others. Legendary Haunt Tour. Two T's. Watch yourself typing it. .com.
All right. January 25th through the 27th, it's Haunt Con Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Ernest N. Memorial Convention Center. Also featuring us, somehow.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, but we will have a mixer of some kind during one.
And we'll definitely be there. I mean,
well, yeah.
We'll be in Haunt Weekly shirts. It'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be hauntcon.com
for
more info.
And a new addition this week. Thank you, Brian Foreman, for the tag and alerting us to the resurgence of this conference. It's HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo, February 23rd and 24th in Pomona, California, at the Fairplex. Not much information right now. Apparently, they just announced it's coming back. But HauntX.com will give you more details as they become available.
Yes.
All right. That's all. That's a pretty cool run.
And now I don't need my notes.
No, we don't need laptops. We're going to put them away. I'm not going to set that down.
Well, I'm not putting mine away because we've got some other things.
Yeah, we've got other notes. Hang on. Yeah. Premature, Jonathan. Oh, boy. We're a real show today, ain't we?
Well, yes.
But anyways, the Oddities and Curiosities Expo, we had been looking forward to this for so long.
Yes, because I saw it advertised to me on Facebook, because Facebook knows me, apparently.
They've gotten to you, man. They
exactly.
Gotten to you.
as something that I'd be interested in. And then, so I was really curious about it and planning on going, but was a little bit on the fence. But then we watched the Gothic Homemaking of Voltaire, who he went to the Chicago one.
Yeah, he did. Like it's one of the Gothic Homemaking Minute type things.
Exactly.
Little short ones.
Yeah. Yeah, he posted a week ago, and it looked freaking awesome. So for the past week and a half, I've been talking nonstop about how much I could...
You are not actually kidding about that. She has not shut up about this expo. I'm surprised we had an episode of Haunt Weekly without a mention of it. That was probably the only hour reprieve I had from it.
Yeah.
Even in my sleep, it's Oddities and Curiosities Expo in my ear.
Yeah. So, long story short, too late.
too late.
I'll take it from you.
But yes.
Yeah, we were really looking forward to it, so much so that I got barely any sleep last night because I was so excited. And also a little worried about being able to get in.
Yeah, and I guess that's one of the... first, we explain what the hell it is.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into the experience. Basically, the Oddities and Curiosities Expo is... imagine if you took all those random oddities and curiosity shops in various towns across America and just took them on tour together.
Yeah. The weird places.
The weird places to shop. I mean, every town, or most towns of size, have one or two. But here you get, 120 of them under one roof.
Right.
And basically, it's a neat place to go shopping, to buy things. And we kind of went there with a dual purpose. One was, we both like buying creepy, weird stuff.
Yes, and I was looking for stuff for my office.
Yes. You're still filling out your new office.
Yeah.
But we were also keeping an eye open for anything that was affordable for the haunt.
Yes.
Our haunt budget here is very, very small. And so we're not going to go around buying $200 shadow boxes and things like that for it. But we did end up buying one thing for it. So we'll get back to that later.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Sorry, I stepped over you.
Oh, it's okay. I was just going to say that I liked the shadow boxes.
The shadow boxes were pretty well. We're not going to pay $200 and hang it on the wall in the haunt.
Well, no, because they'd get broken. That'd be stupid.
A, be broken, and B, no one would appreciate it fully. It has to be somewhere that's well lit. But yeah, so The elephant in the room, and basically, I want to start off by saying it was awesome. We had a great time.
Yeah.
I mean, as often happens with reviews, I can tell we're likely to focus on the criticism some, but it was awesome. I mean, I just want to make that 100% clear. You should go.
Yes.
A little bit later, we'll mention where it's going to be. If it's anywhere near you, please go.
Yes.
Highly encouraged.
So really cool.
Start there. I mean, I know that especially our review style, we tend to get caught up on even the nitpickiest things.
Yeah.
But so I don't want to take away from the overall message.
Right. Or people, like, focus in on any negatives that we say.
Which is very true. Even when we're like, yeah, we've done reviews that were like 95% positive, but said like one or two mild niggles. And people come, oh, I'm sorry you didn't like her hot last year. I'm like,
what do you mean?
What do you mean? I fucking loved it.
Yeah. Yes. So, no, we really loved this. But there are
ways. Put that on your quote board.
Yes. There are ways it can improve.
And the biggest problem we had was, I think, the choice of the Ilario Center in New Orleans was weird.
Yes. Now, technically, it wasn't New Orleans. It was West Wego.
Yes.
So, we'll get that out there.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, was it even West Wego?
I'm not...
Yeah, it is technically still West Wego. Yeah. It's past West Wego from where I'm sitting, but...
Right. Yeah, it's on the outskirts between where the town ends and another town begins. So it's in that gray area.
Yeah. And then that's the thing. It's, I don't expect everyone to be, like, an expert on New Orleans geography.
Right.
So to base it, to try to make this as simple as I can, New Orleans is an area divided by the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the east bank side of the river, you have the French Quarter, the Garden District, the CBD, all the wards, Treme, the parish, Jefferson Parish, like Metairie, Kenner. And if you just thought to yourself, wow, you literally named everything I think of when I think of New Orleans, you're right.
Yeah.
You know what's not on the east bank side of the river? The Ilario Center. Now, right across the river, you have like Algiers Point. You have where we live in Algiers. Mm-hmm. And you have some pretty cool stuff that's a little more suburban, but still very cool and very New Orleanian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not near that either.
No.
It's about 8 miles upriver.
It is 13.2 miles from the French Quarter.
Yeah. And that means crossing the Mississippi River and then... snaking down the West Bank side.
Yeah, in 26 minutes.
Yeah, it's a 26-minute drive. It's not anywhere near the city center, which that's weird part one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird part two is we've been in the Ilario Center before.
Right.
A friend of ours graduated. We went to her graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not particularly huge.
Right. It's not that big. Now, I understand part of the logic behind this, or at least I can guess.
Okay.
I can't say I understand completely. Because it is a new expo for the state. And I'm sure that the organizers weren't sure how much interest it would get. Because it is new. And maybe they looked at the map and said, oh, it's only 13 miles away.
And they probably got a really good deal on renting it.
Exactly. I mean, because that it is going to be cheaper to rent the Ilario Center than anything downtown.
Else. Yeah. Yeah, like the UNO Center or even a section of the, like what HauntCon does, where they get a section of the convention center.
Right. Yeah. And there are some other things that are smaller that are held in the convention center, too.
Yeah.
Like the Tulane Engineering
Forum
was there every year. Yeah. I don't know. It was something I had to go to and talk to people.
You sound so enthused about having attended it. Please tell us. Spend the next hour telling us about the wonderment of the Tulane Engineering Forum and all the excitement you had there. I'm sure that will way trump what we're actually discussing.
No.
Yeah, you would. But yeah, no. It was a very, very bizarre choice in that regard to me because it is so far out and it's not a very big center. And... It was crazy in the run-up to this, because all of our friends are spooky kids,
right,
in some way or another. And even the friends we have that aren't spooky kids were in the run-up to this, pulling us in, hey, are you going to the Oddities and Curiosities thing? It was always the Oddities and Curiosities thing. It's like you got through the hard part of the name. You couldn't just say Expo.
Yeah.
That Oddities and Curiosities thingy, like, it's an Expo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to that? I'm like, yeah, we're planning on going. But we had... somewhat unwisely not purchased our tickets online.
Right.
Our plan was, and this is a plan we've actually executed at other expos, to be fair.
Well, and haunts.
And haunts, is basically not buy tickets until we arrive, and if the line to get in is horribly long, purchase our tickets online.
Right.
And then the night before, the online tickets sold out.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
Did not know that was possible.
Did not know it was possible. Did not know it could happen. But anyways, it ended up not being that big of a deal for us.
Right.
Because we showed up at about 11:30. The event opened up at 11.
Yeah.
We were there about half an hour after it opened. The line for us to get in was minimal.
Yeah.
I think the longest wait was for the to have our non-existent bags checked.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because we didn't bring bags, and there was some poor guy there checking bags on everyone going in, and we're standing just like, didn't bring bags. We just figured vendors would have them, and we were right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the longest wait for us. It was very, very smooth for us getting in. Now, when we left about 2.5 hours later, it was less smooth getting in.
Right. There was a long line, and people were just waiting.
And waiting and waiting.
In the light drizzle. It was not a rain, people. You did not need those umbrellas.
Yeah, I don't know what is up in New Orleans having umbrellas and that.
I'm not sure many of those were New Orleanians.
We're supposed to be a hardier crop of people, folk. But the popularity of it combined with the space meant this was a very crowded expo.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very crowded and very hot.
Yeah.
There were two things I would say. Those are my two biggest complaints right there.
Right.
It was crowded, it was hot, and I completely understand the organizers did not, maybe even could not, have foreseen how popular this would be.
Right.
So I'm not, like, mad or anything about it.
No.
No, this isn't, like, out of anger.
Please come back to New Orleans again.
I'm not shaking my fist at the heavens at you guys.
Yeah.
No, it's just, yeah, that was the biggest challenge, and I think could be overcome by a change in venue.
Right.
Because the Ilaria Center was just never going to be big enough for what you wanted to do.
Yeah. Because
you've got 120 booths, you got the people shop, people working them, the people shopping in them.
Right.
You've got a stage going on.
Right.
And then you got the human suspension thing going on the other side.
Right.
You had a lot of stuff going on and just not a lot of room.
Yeah. And the air was not
flowing.
Yeah. Ventilation was not as good as it should be.
Whoever was selling those fold-out fans made a mint.
Yeah.
And we spent about 2.5 hours there, like I said. And I think about the first 2 hours was on a solid walkthrough.
Yeah.
We tried to stop at every single booth.
Mm-hmm.
We skipped a few completely. There were a few that were selling, like, bath bombs and soaps. And yeah. if I drop a bath bomb, it probably mean I pooped in the toilet. I mean, pooped in the tub.
No.
I've never done that. Don't worry. I've never dropped a bath bomb.
Yeah.
But no, that's probably what it would mean. Because I'm not the type of person to ever do bath bombs.
Well, and we weren't there for bath soaps.
No,
basically.
We weren't there for any of that stuff.
Yeah.
We were there for
dead things.
Dead things. Creepy things.
Yes.
Evil looking things.
Yes.
And we did find that aplenty. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I gotta say, it was very, very interesting because, first and foremost, we met a lot of our friends there.
Yeah.
And I think we met pretty much every haunter or haunted attraction, at least, we knew in the area in sequence.
Yeah.
We met on the way in, literally while we were waiting to buy our tickets, we meet people from the mortuary, some friends of ours that are now working with the mortuary. I think they were working with them previously, too.
They were.
And then walking in, not even in there for very long at all, we meet people from New Orleans Nightmare House, which is the former House of Shock.
Right.
And we got to get in touch with them later. That reminds me. Then after that, we meet people from 13th Gate.
Yeah.
And I know I spotted some people from Rise, but we didn't speak to them. But, you know, so everyone from the haunt community turned out, basically.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. That was fun. Meeting a lot of our actual friends there, too. People we hadn't seen for a while, even.
Yeah.
So that was cool. But, yeah. The main thing for us was wandering from booth to booth and seeing what everyone had.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of neat stuff to be found there. I was really, really impressed with, you know, the kinds of things you could find.
Right.
I will say, that after a period of time, especially after we got about three quarters the way through with it, we noticed there was a pattern in what some of the booths had. Like bats were pretty much every goddamn where. If you wanted to buy a bat skin on or skin off, you were covered.
Yeah, there were bats. There were lots of bats.
There were lots of bats. I'm not complaining about there being lots of bats. No. I just happened to notice there were lots of bats.
Yeah. No, there were. And there were some cute ones with skins on. I have a couple with skin off that I've had previously. There were some jewelry makers. The other thing that was really popular were the little ducks, the little taxidermy ducks.
Yeah, I think about at least like a dozen places had those.
Yeah.
And then one like posed we're talking like the chickies, the little chicks. Like one place had them like put like trench coats and
little top hats.
Top hats and tuxedos.
They were cute.
They were really cute. And
yeah, and there was another one that had it underneath glass with like a scene, an outdoor scene, and it was really bright and pretty and...
Yeah.
So there were some cute ducklings.
There was a lot of interesting things, but you know, like I said, by about three quarters of the way through, you're starting to see this pattern, and so you start trying to pick out the things that are specific to that booth, rather than the things you've seen probably a dozen times or more since you got there.
Right. That, or you start comparing the prices of all the muskrat skulls and the various bones.
Yeah, we actually were making notes of coyote skulls.
Right.
And we actually found the place that had it cheapest, and there's three or four places had them.
More than that.
And we found the place that had cheap, and ended up not buying it anyway.
Yeah, well, my coworker already has a coyote skull in his office, so I don't think I need one in mine, too.
Yeah, you want to be different. You want to be differently weird.
Yeah.
I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a very, very cool expo. I really did enjoy it. Roaming around was great. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem was there was a crush of humanity, and if you try to get into a popular booth, you expect to wait in like this weird internal queue where like you're waiting for people to check out and finish looking at things and talking to the person, and then you go in and you get a chance to explore it. And it's just a crush of humanity in some of these booths.
Right. There were some booths that I really wanted to get into, but I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, they had beautiful things. So the wet specimen I bought, I actually bought from the outside and never went into the actual area because he was smart and standing where I could just pick up something from
and walk around the outside of the booth.
Because I couldn't get in there. And it's a shame because there were some small figurines he had made out of bone and teeth that I really wanted to look at, but it's okay. I got his card. I'll look it up later.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. For at least in the New Orleans one, there was basically, I believe, four or five types of vendors on the whole.
Yeah.
You had your oddities and curiosity shop, which obviously you would have.
Yeah.
But these are the ones selling the bats, the taxidermied animals, the very weird sculptures and whatnot, and things like that. The shadow boxes of bones. Yeah. You had the artists, both 2D and 3D. They were doing completely original sculptures, sometimes out of weird things.
Yeah.
And sometimes just normal materials, but very dark art and various stripes. There was one there whose work I loved. It really spoke to me in terms of how, what we do is haunting. It was the circus one.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the stuff this person did. I'm going to have to get the name and put it in the show notes because we've got the card for that too. But everything was just way out of our price range.
Yeah.
We had set ourselves a $500 limit to spend. We weren't going there not to spend money.
Right.
We had money to spend, but like one of his items would have put us over budget.
Yeah.
And since my office is already over full with stuff.
It is. It is very full.
That didn't make sense to plunk down a lot of money on that.
Right.
You also had the various other crafters, like the bath bomb people and so forth.
Right. And then you had a smattering of jewelry makers making jewelry out of bones and other items that were really cool.
Yeah, and you did have one tattoo parlor was there promoting various unusual wares.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think if there was anything else that could be put in one of those broad classifications.
I don't think so. Because you had maybe five outstanding sculpture artists is what I would call them.
Mm-hmm.
They were definitely standalone, didn't see their things anywhere else, would not see them anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then lots of people just selling bits and bobs of bones and wet specimens, just kind of wholesale almost. There was the one that I bought several pieces from because they were just cheap.
Yeah.
And I could have a jawbone for a dollar, you know? Why
not? Who doesn't want a jawbone for a dollar?
Exactly.
I want a jawbone for a dollar.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, I mean, and that was, to me, one of the weirdest parts about it was that you would roam from place to place and you would find, don't want to say identical, because they have, most of the stuff is handmade. In fact, pretty much all of it's handmade. I only recognized a couple of exact pieces.
Yeah.
From various booths. Like, there was a Holy Bible with an eye on it.
Right.
That I saw in the exact same thing in two or three booths.
Yeah. Well, and I saw the, like, I bought three large spinal columns. I don't know what kind of animal they're from, but they're three large ones. And I saw them used as planters in other booths for mm-hmm. little fake plants.
Yeah.
So now I have an idea of what to do with them other than, you know, just have them as bones.
Yeah, but you would see the things and you would roam around and you would notice that the prices would often be wildly different
mm-hmm.
on the same thing or similar thing.
Yeah.
Like, wildly different. Like, one booth had just the bat skeleton
right.
for $75. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. another booth had it posed, put in a neat little cage with some grass and a nice shadow box for just $10 more.
Yeah.
And it's like, that could have been double the price and I wouldn't have batted an eyelash at them.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is that I think that a lot of the vendors, this is the first time that they've been together.
In the same room.
In the same room.
Or this tour is, in general, I should say.
Yeah. Well, especially these, because these were more from this region.
Mm-hmm.
Than the ones up in Chicago, which featured Chicago region, you know, people. So,
yeah, it was, it's a very interesting, because you could tell a lot of these curiosity shops mm-hmm. have spent most of their time competing less with other curiosity shops and more with the shops around them.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense, because like, there are not a lot of towns, let me get this right, with a lot of curiosity shops.
No, if they have one, they're lucky.
Exactly. New Orleans is an exception.
Yeah, French Quarter definitely has its collection of them.
Yes.
Yeah, you can see that they've never really been shoulder to shoulder with other curiosity shops. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be one of the things vendors are going to want to think about.
Right.
For the 2019 tour, which I sincerely hope happens,
yeah,
it's going to be an opportunity to think about, okay, what can we bring that other shops in the same vein don't have?
Right.
And that's going to be something I think is going to be a very important thing. Like I said, I'm not by any stretch saying it got like monotonous. Every store had a few interesting and unique things.
Yes.
But they also had many things that were similar to other shops. Just because... Right. That's the type of thing you expect at a curiosity shop.
Yeah.
It's that simple. It's expected. You got to have it. But if it's expected and you got to have it, maybe don't take that particular item and bring it to an expo with 100 other curiosity shops.
Right.
Save that shelf space for something more unique to you.
Right. No, I would completely agree with that, because we spent more time and put the effort in to go into all of the booths that were definitely different.
Yeah.
That you could see that, okay, they're not just selling random skulls and wet specimens. They're also, like, have individual things that you don't see anywhere else in this expo.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the vendors, like, learn from this and approach it a little differently next year. Because this is the first year this has happened.
Right.
There's going to be these types of problems.
Yeah.
These types of things. I don't even know it's a problem. It's these types of things. Yeah.
At least it's the first one in New Orleans.
I think this is the first year they've done the tour.
Probably.
So I'm very excited about it happening.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, so it was cool. We did not see much of the stage show.
No.
We weren't interested.
No, because, well, they had, you know, the glass eaters and the the people who put the nails in the nose. Yeah. And we've seen actually that exact performer before. And then they had Suspension, which we've seen lots of times.
They used local performers, I believe, for that. And I'm pretty they're very good. But I'm pretty sure if we checked our Facebook friends, we either are friends with them or friends of like one person are removed from them. Because this is the New Orleans burlesque and scene we're already pretty well connected to. Mm. So I'm just, you know what I mean? I think we probably have some connections, basically is what I'm saying.
Right.
And we've probably seen a lot of these exact acts before. But that, and they were only doing very abbreviated versions of everything. They were doing acts every hour on the hour. Mm-hmm. And they were giving four performers basically five minutes each.
Yeah.
It was real, keep them moving. And I understand why you do that, because the goal is to have people flowing around and shopping.
Right.
You don't necessarily want people standing around all day looking at the stage.
Yeah.
That's not good for business. But yeah, it seemed to impact the quality of the show, too, a little bit. Mm-hmm. They didn't have as much time to do the build-up.
Right.
You know, basically, he has to skip straight to eating glass while singing La Donna Aimée Blay. You know?
Yeah.
He's got to cut right to that chase, man. He's got to get right on it.
Hopefully not cut anything else in the process.
Oh, but yes. So it was... I mean, overall, I did have a lot of fun, though. I had a lot more fun than I expected, especially considering how, like, anti-expo I am.
Yeah.
I'm the guy, I go to a lot of conferences. I go to speak, and every conference has to have an expo. It's an unwritten rule. And if you speak at a conference, it's one of those, I wouldn't say it's contractual, but it's, you're supposed to visit the damned expo. You're supposed to at least feign an interest in it.
Right.
And so I do every time, and I usually, like, the worst for me is South By about this.
Yeah.
Because if you've never been to the expo at South By Southwest, it is probably the biggest thing on the planet. At least that's how it feels.
It feels that way when you're in the middle of it, at least.
Like, I am pretty sure there were people that wandered into the middle of that expo last year who died of starvation because they couldn't find their way out.
Well, I don't know about that, because there's, like, free samples everywhere.
Well, they got drunk off the free samples of Stella Artois. Okay.
Yeah.
They were there 1 year.
That would take a long time.
Oh, God.
Those were tiny glasses.
Tiny Stella Artois, too. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. But the point remains, where was I going with this? I'm not a big fan of expos. I usually just, like, buzz through them.
Right.
So to actually have an expo and me spending time with it was very different. Now, I've got to say, the vendors... On the whole, I think we're great. I can't think of anyone that I went, well, they don't belong here.
No.
What the hell? Who the hell invited them?
Yeah, there wasn't somebody selling showers.
Yeah.
So, those of
Hong Kong.
Yes, those of you who were in Hong Kong will know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God. I forgot about that. The poor.
Yeah. But they're also... So, I grew up spending a lot of time at craft shows because my parents were crafters, so they would be there selling and I'd be there wandering all the other booths.
Yeah.
And one of the things I found a little bit odd is that some of the vendors wouldn't talk to you when you came up to their table. Like, they weren't trying to engage as much as I would have expected just because of the way that I grew up.
Yeah. And I think some of that was just the sheer crush of humanity, though.
It was and it wasn't, because the ones that I'm thinking of, it was, there was nobody else at their table when I went over.
Okay, fair enough.
You know?
Yeah, that almost never happened in this.
Yeah,
I think we were the only person at a booth a couple of times.
Exactly. So it stood out as odd, and not in a good way. But you talk about not liking to go to expos, but we talked about this earlier, as growing up in the crafting world.
Mm-hmm.
I see all these people as artists and go to every booth, and it's like going to a family potluck. You have to try everybody's dish and say that you like it, you know? It's kind of what it's like.
Yeah. But yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I had a great time. And basically, the thing I'm thinking about is, like, if you took any one of these vendors, pick one of the 120 randomly,
yep.
You pluck them out of Oddities and Curiosities Expo and drop them in any other craft fair.
Yeah.
They would be the talk of the town for us.
Get all my money.
We would be ranting and raving about how amazing they were.
Yeah.
They would be truly wondrous. Like that stupid thing on the North Shore we got suckered in going to one year.
Jesus
what was
Christ.
That piece of crap called?
I don't
know. That we drove like an hour and a half for?
Craft Expo.
Largest Craft Expo in South Asia. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Just
yeah. That was
shame
a lie.
On you for... Shame on you for your marketing of that.
Yeah, that was a lie.
Trip to Dick Kick City if I find out who did that. But I mean, yeah, it was. But no, if you take them and drop them there, they'd get all our monies. They'd be the talk of the town. Be ranting and raving about how awesome they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting that, and like here, it's like they get lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Yeah,
there's so many, and it's because everybody's very cool and very awesome. But also that many people have the similar things, they kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Right.
So it actually, in a weird way, seems to play against some of these vendors.
Right. Yeah, I could agree with that.
As odd as that sounds. Like I said, though, it was still a great experience overall. We got a little bit of time left. I think we have about 15 minutes left. What the hell did we buy again?
Okay. I bought earrings.
Yes, and you are wearing them.
Yes.
You can see this plainly on this audio-only podcast. They're very, very beautiful.
Yeah. Bought the thing for the haunt.
Yes. Yeah, the one thing we did buy for the haunt that I'm really proud of this find, it was one of the first booths when we walked in, we encountered mm-hmm. this. They actually had one of the old-timey IV stands.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they put the bags on and patients can walk around with its wheel. And we conveniently have a doctor's office sequence this year in the haunt.
Yep.
And the price on it was only $20, which is about what you can get a new one for online,
yeah.
minus shipping.
Yeah, but this one already had some rust built into it.
It had some dents and dings. Yeah. Basically, it did the distressing for us.
Yeah.
And I like it when people do work for us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it looks a little bit crappier, which is pretty much what we needed.
Yeah, so we bought that. We bought a wet specimen. We bought random bones, a muskrat skull, because it looked cool. It was the first one that I saw that day. And the
shadow box. I bought a keychain and a necklace.
You bought a keychain and a necklace. Yeah. I bought the shadow box, a small one.
Yeah, bones and
bones and beads.
And it had a story behind it, didn't it? Didn't?
No.
Okay.
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
No, I really wanted one of their big ones, but the one that I really, really wanted was sold, so I was sad.
Yeah. Well, and that one was a little frustrating because that was one we'd said we'll come back to.
Yeah.
And it was sold before it got back to. And that's the risk you take when you do that.
Yeah. But it's okay.
You still got a really, really good one from them.
Yeah.
And one that I think will fit better in your office anyway.
Well, yeah, probably. And I'll look them up online because we got their cards.
Yeah.
We got cards for everybody.
And that is the one, I think that to me is ultimately what this has really been about in a weird way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we bought some cool stuff. I think we spent about $125, $150 total.
Yeah, so a lot less than what we were planning on.
Yeah, we planned and budgeted out for a fair amount more. So we got out pretty cheap. But one of the main things we were doing was going around and collecting business cards from everyone.
Right.
And, you know, what I'm going to do is a little bit later, I'm going to put all this into a Word, a Google Doc or a spreadsheet or something
mm-hmm.
so that we can look these places up if we next time we get an itch to buy this type of stuff.
Right.
It's a collection of resources for us to buy this anytime we want,
mm-hmm.
24/7, 365.
Yeah.
And I know the place you got the bows.
Right.
The hair bows.
Yeah.
Which you didn't mention.
Right, I'd forgotten.
Got a collection of goth culture hair bows.
Yeah.
At one place. But yeah, like, they have an Etsy store, for example, that we can just pick the stuff up from 24/7 and have it shipped to our door.
Yeah.
And that
also bought the original painting of the skeleton unicorn with rainbow hair for our stepson.
Yes. That'll be really, really cool.
It is cool.
That's a really cool painting. He's gonna love that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it was really, really good. And seeing all the friends was really cool. By the way, seeing all the really, really pretty goth people is very fun, too. If you are into hot goth people, men, women, doesn't really matter. Whatever your type, whatever you want, it's there in spades. Trust me. But I was also surprised by the amount of, you know, I'm air quoting this, normal people that were there.
Yeah, people that were there just because they were curious. They weren't buying anything. They were just looking at stuff. And I don't really know why they were there. Yeah. I guess just curiosity, obviously.
And something else to understand about the location, we didn't go into this earlier, mm-hmm. the Ilaria Center is in West Wego. West Wego, I think, is about as far out as you can get and be considered in the New Orleans metropolitan area. And even that's a stretch.
Yeah, it's pretty country.
Yeah, you're getting very, very rural, and you're getting away from the more liberal-minded sensibilities of New Orleans.
You definitely are, yeah.
I mean, the joke is that New Orleans is a bright blue dot in the giant red sea that is Louisiana.
It's the blueberry.
It's the blueberry. That's way outside the blueberry.
Yeah.
And it's and that sensibility goes way beyond politics. It goes into, like I said, the, how people view things like a curiosities event. And there were clearly a lot of people there that were not very happy with what they were seeing.
Yeah. Some that weren't happy and some that were fetishizing.
Yeah. And I felt bad for one kid I saw who was being carried, and he was obviously just traumatized by everything he was seeing.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was like 7 or 8. He looked, oh, maybe not as old, but maybe like 5 or 6. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was definitely a walking kid. He could have walked fine. But he had to be carried because he was damn near crying the whole time. And he was, we passed him at like the third booth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what was in those booths.
The third booth?
Somewhere in that range. Yeah.
It was bats. Of course it was bats.
Taxidermied bats, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there were people there, and I mean, and I say normal in air quotes, but because I'm sure a lot of the people that did not dress up for the occasion in any way were genuinely there because of their own interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
But there were also clearly a lot of looky-loos. But one thing I found fascinating was I'm an information hoover. Everyone who's been around me any length of time knows I do this. I read everything I can and get my hands on, except books, it seems. Because by the time I read everything else I can, I'm too tired to read books.
Yeah.
I read legal documents all day. What do you want me to do? Read for free? So I'm going to these booths, and a lot of them had those email newsletter sign-up thingies.
Right.
And one of the things they'd routinely ask is the state.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'd actually ask for the full letters, but I just kept an eye on the states. I would think a full third to one half were outside of Louisiana.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah, you had a lot of people from Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Texas, some from Arkansas, I think. Basically, driving distance.
Yeah, it's the region.
Which makes sense.
The Gulf Coast area.
But all over the Gulf Coast region, basically, is what you had.
Yeah.
And that makes a very high degree of sense. And it means that it was placed pretty well in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like I said, I still kind of question using the Ilaria Center personally.
Well, yeah, because the other thing is that if people are traveling from out of state to come here, they want to experience New Orleans. And part of New Orleans, a big part of it, is our food culture. And the Ilaria Center had hot dogs and pretzels.
And there were no restaurants of import or significance around it.
No.
I mean, the West Bank Grill's pretty good. It's pretty close, but it's definitely not New Orleans food. It's
And I don't know that anybody traveling over there would know to go there.
Yeah.
So
we only found it by sheer dumb luck. So yeah.
It's like, oh, there's another steak place. It has steak on the sign. Let's go try theirs.
Yeah, we're kind of steak junkies around here.
Yeah.
A little bit. But yeah. So real fast, well, we've got a few more minutes left. Quick wrap-up of where it's going to be in the rest of 2018.
Right.
So you guys can go, and you should.
Mm-hmm.
October 6th, it will be in Denver at the Denver Mart Expo Building. And on November 3rd, it will be in Atlanta, the Expo Center North. And then after that, for its last appearance of the year, November 24th, it'll be in the Palmer Event Center in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. So check it out in any of those places. I highly recommend it anywhere it goes. It was really, really cool. And like I said, I think the organizers underestimated how popular this would be, especially here in New Orleans.
Right.
I think this kind of caught them a little bit off guard. Voltaire had mentioned in his video the same thing, that they were caught a little bit flat-footed by how popular it became.
Yeah, that might be true.
I think I remember him saying that. I might be remembering wrong. Misremembering is my thing. But the point of the matter is, I think they might have got caught a little flat-footed. They might not have planned the venues and scouted the venues as well as they needed to. But there's no doubt in my mind that the vendors are excellent.
Yeah.
My advice is, if you do go, do a sweep of the floor first. Pick up any small things you want right away, obviously. But if you're looking for a bigger ticket item, like a big skull or a taxidermy product, do a full sweep of the floor, because, like I said, with so many curiosities places under one roof, you might find it cheaper elsewhere. You might find a version of it you like a little better.
Yeah.
Like, there were at least three or four places that had the snake taxidermies, for example. Mm-hmm. And there were several that had the snake skin, just the skin part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a wide range of prices and styles. You might find one you like better or that's cheaper later on. You don't want to be kicking yourself.
Right.
And yeah, that does risk someone else plucking out the one you wanted from underneath you. But all in all, I think it's worth the risk.
Yeah, I do too.
The bigger the ticket, the item, the more it's worth the risk, definitely.
Yeah.
And I would say that's especially a good approach if you're looking for those shadow boxes,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the things that was at a lot of places, but every place had a very distinct style of how they did it, so I didn't feel like that one got as samey. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There was one that posed it in, like, a very nature scenes, like, all of them are very angelic and peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one that did it in, like, a comedy way, like the rat was breathing fire and all that. And then there was one that did it more straightforward, like you would see in, like, a medicine shop or something.
Mm-hmm.
So there were different styles, and it didn't feel quite as samey because of that.
Right.
There definitely was more difference there than, like, hundreds of taxidermy bats.
Yeah, you could tell a difference between the artists creating.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say. But so, if you're interested in one of those, definitely spend some time touring the floor,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to be introduced to a lot of different styles in a pretty wide price range,
mm-hmm.
and you might find something you like even better.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, man. All in all, it was a good time. I had a much better time than I expected, given my feeling on expos.
Yeah.
And I know you were like a fucking kid on Christmas Eve last night.
Yeah.
Basically, I say go if it's coming to you anytime this year. I'm looking forward to getting the dates on the 2019 tour. And when they do announce them, we'll put them in the podcast and let you know whence forth and where forth it's coming, where I'm getting on the newsletter now.
Right.
All in all, this is a Haunter stream, though I will say I did not find much for the haunt other than the IV stand.
Yeah, I was looking for posters and things and thought that they might have them, but
no.
Didn't see,
I think, the cheapest
like
prints they had full stop were like $10.
Yeah, but that's not bad.
But these were for tiny little prints, not posters.
Yeah.
As far as poster size, I think the cheapest we saw was 40. We saw a $3,000 poster there.
Yeah, I know.
To be fair, it was an original movie poster for The Empire Strikes Back. So there was a reason it was that much.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, that's not coming home.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what the goat does with the dark art market that they're having on September 12th.
That will be very cool. We'll be going to that, too. Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to learn more, oddities and curiosities expo.com. That is a mouthful to say, and even worse to type. But I'm sure you just Google Oddities and Curiosities, and you'll get it that way.
Yeah,
it's the oddities and curiosities expo.com. links, they'll have links to their Facebook, also some information about the organizers. I think they did a great job. It was a bunch of great vendors,
mm-hmm.
a good time, and it was really, really cool to sort of organically hang out with some of our spookier friends.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
Nope.
I just want to say check it out. If it's coming your way, it's worth it. Like I said, don't expect to find anything for your haunt, especially if you're haunting on a budget. Like yeah. Everyone is.
Yeah.
We're all on a budget.
It's just some budgets are bigger than others.
Yes. Yeah, don't expect to find much for your haunt, but definitely expect to find some cool things for your office.
Yeah.
Or
home.
Or, you know, wherever.
Places that you want to put spooky things.
That you can be looking at for a long, long time to come. Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 142, talking about the Oddities and Curiosities Expo in New Orleans, Louisiana. And we will see you guys next time.